Hi, welcome to Lug Radio episode 7. It is a gloriously sunny 12th of March, I think it is.
May
2004 here
it's
in
not then. Wolverhampton.
Going sunny back in March this time of night.
It is beautiful tonight, isn't it?
It is. It's glorious out here in. Yep, and we're back from the loo decks, as people seem to start calling it, and we have been rejoined by the crucial ligament within our operation.
Ligament.
He's got some kind of fucking ligament.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's right.
So tonight we're going to be talking about various things, including Mono.
Stop calling it Mono.
Software patents in the ooh.
Was Mono done by
the company that Zimian company that was bought by Novel?
Novel, yeah, that's right. The one. Yeah,
it's a novel name. That is really for a computer company.
Zimian,
Zimian,
Eximian. Hey guys, it's Eximian.
So, well, should we say hello to a few people, such as Yonkeltron?
We were concerned that if we didn't mention this evening, you might come round to our house and axe murder us in our sleep.
Absolutely.
You did seem slightly peeved that we didn't mention you last time.
So he set up his own show, or his own page, all about, you know, where we live and everything.
And our phone numbers, so, and yeah, where we work.
We love you, Yonkeltron. Please don't murder us.
Yeah. Bluefacemonkey.com/lugradio, I think. That's his website. Have
really?
A look. Yeah.
Don't pretend you don't know.
Good looking at him every day.
Oh, look. So,
oh, look, there's me on a webcam. Look, Lynn, Lord.
There's a fan site for me.
Thanks. Can we call you Yonkers? That's a place near New York, Yonkers.
We can't call anyone Yonkers.
It's a place.
It sounds like it ought to be a swear word, even though it isn't.
So cheers, mate.
The kind of thing Maureen Lipman would say when she was like surprised.
Donkers!
Who'd say that?
Maureen Lipman.
So, yeah. I'm sure that we've got some other things to mention from the forums, but basically, hello to everyone who's joined. We're not going to list you all off because, you know,
there's too many, to be honest.
Yeah, it's getting
we're
too
so
much
popular,
now.
We can't even keep up with our own fan base.
Man,
that's bollocks, isn't it?
well, yeah, pretty much. But it sounds good, you know.
I think the reason why we can't really list it is because obviously we were at the expo for the last recording. So since the recording before then, there's been so many people join the forums. It would take us ages to actually read them out. So thank you everyone for joining the forums. We do appreciate it. And for joining the IRC channel as well, which
It's just surprisingly busy. And in the time that we've just explained that we're not going to be listing everyone on the
we're probably going to list everybody.
We've just spoken about them. But yeah, anyway, I think it's going to be a good show tonight. I think
it's going to be fun.
Bring it on.
Bring it on, guys.
Right, you remember Desert Island Discs? We did it for a bit, and then we decided that, you know, it was lame. But we've rediscovered new innovation.
Honesty to the end.
No, we've rediscovered new innovation and the essential thing that is Lug Radio, which is sheer out-and-out laziness, in that we get all you people do work for us. So we've had a guy send in his choice of Desert Island Discs, and Jono's going to read through them.
Yeah, his name is Paul Elliott, who I don't know.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul. We think we might have met him at the expo, but that might have been another guy.
If that's true, Paul, let us know. Right, okay. His first application is NTOP.
What's he say about it?
He says, fantastic tool that can capture all packets going through a machine and then presents a really nice web interface with all the information. It's been really useful here for finding out who's been hogging all of our 2-meg link and where they've been going.
That's the most boring thing I've ever heard.
Hang on, can I ask? Paul likes it.
Why the hell are you looking at packets to see who's hogging the link? Is that fucking sad?
Did you not?
Install some traffic shaping software on there. And just
more to the point, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to stop spying on your users from time to time.
What about, though, that? Do you remember that Irish Internet Cafe story where they caught the spammer? Looking at the intricate details. It was on the Irish Lug website. It was /.it a while ago. And basically, this guy went into real detail about how he'd looked at every single packet coming from each machine and how he'd actually managed to go along and get the police involved, and the guy was crying or something.
I can't believe an internet cafe would run without some kind of logging system in place so they didn't have to look at individual fucking packets to find out who was distributing the child porn? Just
you,
the one.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I suppose whatever floats your boat.
Well, the first thing I do if I was starting an internet cafe was trying not to get my own arse thrown into jail.
Well, this is it. You know, the pigs come around and go, it was being distributed from here, and you go, well, I don't know who it is. And they go, well, we'll just blame you then. You know? That's no fun.
So who would come?
The constabulary.
Depends, really.
number
two is Nmap.
So, sorry, Ntop, now Nmap.
Nmap, yeah. I'm seeing a pattern already. Paul extols the virtues of Nmap by saying, we find this really useful for quick checks on local machines. For example, with the Sasa virus going round, we've been doing regular scans of all local machines on port 5554 to see if there's an FTP server present. Not yet.
Trinity found it useful in the Matrix as well.
Yeah, she did.
Sorry, that was realism in the film.
That was attempted enthusiasm, wasn't it?
Really?
What I wanted to know about that is, if she was using Nmap to hack into the Matrix, why the hell did she just fucking DDX the fucking Matrix? just keep sending it shitloads of spam.
As someone who found the first Matrix incredibly immature in its thinking and very boring and didn't bother watching the
second he's too cultured for us. Listen to this. Fucking hell.
Did someone in it really use Nmap?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell. I'm glad I didn't bother watching it.
Oh, you didn't particularly see it.
All of them are shit.
Moving on to something he kind of brings up there.
Yeah.
All right, now the Sasa virus thing, right? A thing I know about. I didn't even know what it was. Everyone was talking about it at work, and I said, "What is it?" And they're like, "Oh, it's this new worm and everything." And I've now got to the point where it's not that, you know, I think, "Oh no, I mustn't worry about viruses because, you know, they're all Windows ones." I don't even know about them.
No, I
just ha ha ha. Really, that was the only point of that.
Yeah. No, it's great not having to kind of worry about this kind of stuff. You just think, oh, another Windows virus. I usually do perform a particular gesture
that many other people
kind of perform when such a thing happens. But so be it. Shall we move on to?
He had one other thing to say about Nmap, but I couldn't read it from this distance.
All right, I can't read it from this distance. I haven't got my specs.
Also shows up local users,
mainly Windows,
that are running services they shouldn't.
Spy on your users again.
He does work at a school or a college or something, though. So I mean,
so it's okay to oppress his. I don't really know a lot about network administrators because I'm a developer, not a sysadmin or anything.
An information architect.
I'm an information architect. If you're looking at it that way, yeah. But right, is that what network admins do? They just install those tools to spy on their punters.
Bastard operator from hell. That's what they do.
Yep.
That's real, is it?
They have a pimply-faced youth to do all the work, and then they sit up there bribing people to give them cool kit while simultaneously gathering evidence to plot the downfall of the whole company around them.
Reminds me of the cat out of Dilbert. What was his name?
Catbert.
Yeah.
Cunning. I don't read those comics.
No, it's on FTN. Yeah.
So, yeah, is number three. Number three, unsurprisingly, begins with an N. It's Nessus. From Nessus.org, and I'm absolutely amazed to see that it's a security scanner. Run this little baby against local machines and servers, and after a few minutes, it will give a security report on any known security holes.
Oh, Nessus is one of those white hat tools. That isn't a fucking white hat tool at all. It's a black hat tool.
Oh, like Satan.
Well, the next thing that he writes,
like Satan. It is Satan, but with a GUI.
I can't believe it
shows millions of exploits.
The next thing he writes is, also does DOS attacks.
Yes. It can do absolutely fucking everything. I suppose then you might be checking that your known unpatched system is vulnerable before you patch it. But I can't see what a lot of the functions in it are useful for, unless you're a naughty boy, stroke girl.
Which Sparks isn't, of course.
No. is there anything not, you know,
never,
seriously network admin connected on this list?
The next one is Ethereal, and then
Ethereal.
Which again, if you're diagnosing a hardware problem, Ethereal. Useful.
Ethereal.
Why do people want to look at packets?
Ethereal the unready.
So come on, read out what he says about it, because
Ethereal.
It's taking the time to tap it out to us.
Sniffer software that has proven invaluable. Came in really useful when Blaster, yet another Microsoft fuck-up, was doing the rounds.
I don't get it. Unless you're debugging hardware, it's like sending out rogue packets occasionally and just crashing the networks. Why the fucking hell do you want to look at individual packets?
Yeah, people need to reverse engineer a protocol or whatever, which is virtually nobody.
After this, we've got FW Builder.
He presumably builds FWs.
Yeah. You know, I needed an FW the other day. I wish I'd known about this.
You should have done. Gone to the doctor. There's a lovely cream available.
I just installed an SW, and then it was all right.
Like feverish wench builder or something.
Hey, is that like in Weird Science? Brilliant. Let's do that.
It's a
that.
Really nice file. Yeah, but we'll probably get script, actually.
Eric Raymond or something. Oh, damn. I meant to press Meta X, Meta Y. Right, the one after this is something
women
that
are XX.
We all love is is
did
Debian.
Someone not know that?
I don't think so.
Hang on, you didn't explain what FW Builder was.
Builds firewalls.
Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul does. Look, there's only two people who care. This is you and
Paul.
And,
listen,
Paul.
The thing is, we can't be too choosy because no offense, Paul, but you're the only person who's bothered sending anything in for this.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Because if you hadn't sent this in, we wouldn't be reading it now, and we wouldn't have even thought about it. So we'd be probably talking about Slashdot. Yeah, next one, number six. Are we only at six? It's Debian.
Hey, Debian.
We like Debian.
We like Debian.
Not much to say about it, really.
No, we all like it. I think we all use it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Superb.
Next one is Straw.
Oh, it's Wank.
I use Straw.
It's Wank.
What is it?
It's an RSS aggregator.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you mean like Blogline?
Except it's a client-side application. GTK, right. Python. I should like it. I just don't because it's
I used to use another GTK RSS aggregator. I can't remember what it was called.
That's useful.
Life Feeder.
Maybe Read Feeder or something.
What?
Feed Reader? Feed Feeder?
Feed Reader. I thought it was called Read Feeder.
What about Rude Reader?
What I used was Lithelia or something like that, and it was just fucking shite. Well, no offence to the guys working on it. It's improving in leaps and bounds, but it's not...
Not many bounds.
The guys working on it admit it's not in a usable state, and they should use Straw or something else. For the moments.
No, but I just don't like it. Plus, it's no good if you're reading feeds from sites and you want to read them in two places at once, like at work and at home. So those of us who haven't got a job are not bothered by this.
It works on my laptop.
That's a bit cruel.
Should we see why Paul says he likes it?
He says, recently discovered this one, although it's been around a bit. Allows you to grab a load of RSS feeds into one app. Saves me from visiting 15-plus news websites every day.
That's a reason to like RSS aggregate. Yeah. It's not a reason to particularly like Straw.
Each to their own?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it amazes me that I don't like it because it's in Python. I could hack it and everything, and that's why I originally got it. I thought, I don't like all the ones that are around at the moment. Oh, I can get this one. I could work with it and everything. It just fucking pissed me off all.
It's really stable. You don't normally like everything. You know, you very rarely complain.
I normally like things that are written in Python.
Yeah, you love the Python. Next one's Squirrel Mail.
Oh, fuck off.
Hey.
Now he says, last year our site was running Mercury on NetWare. It was a free, not OS, mail server. It was crap. Crashed all the time, was slow, no spam or virus check-in, etc., etc. Swapped it for a Linux... Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So,
our Squirrel Mail's... I mean, I use it and it's still bollocks.
I use it and I think it's the best of that sort of thing out there.
What else do you need? I mean, webmail.
That's what I'm saying. It's the best Morris Minor Traveller. I mean, the concept is shite.
What's shite about the concept?
Morris Minor Traveller was a good concept.
It allows you to access your mail when you've got a web browser and no other access. It doesn't make the concept shite. It might be that the restraints of the web make the implementation shite.
Right, we're going to talk about now is some news that hit the web yesterday, and that is regarding the fact that Zimian, or Novel, whichever way you want to say it, have chosen to open source, make free software, the connector thing that makes you able to talk to Exchange.
For their Evolution mail client and... general thingy.
That was the most stilted description of it ever, by the way.
It was. It's a talent.
But yeah.
So what do we think about it? Are we impressed? I am. I'm well impressed.
The only... go ahead, Sparks.
It's all right if people have already got an Exchange server and they've got the client licenses and they're paid up and they've got this thing and they might as well keep it for the next 3 years before they do something else. But if they're going to have something new, they might as well have something that's working is, I think, the technical term from the beginning.
But we were having this discussion the other night. I mean, what would you replace Exchange with, particularly the shared calendaring stuff? Is there a viable alternative?
No. They're developing the Evolution Data Server, I think it's called.
Yep.
Is that going to be an exchange kind of thing?
Let's hope.
Sorry, I'm eating a chocolate at the moment.
Sort of.
But would they want
to... You can appear to the calendar in
I think so. I mean, there are sort of calendar-ish things, but there's no really decent shared calendar software, especially nothing that's integrated into Evolution. So if you want to give people, you know, if you've got a batch of people who are, you know, you've got an Exchange server and everyone's on Outlook clients and you want to shift them to Linux on the desktop and give them Evolution, you could keep your Exchange server and give them Evolution with the connector. And like Spark says, at that point, you'll already have all the licenses and everything. But there is no alternative to decent shared calendars.
Yeah.
I don't think. Go on, Matt.
Is this a bit like the OS2 running Windows and Wine on Linux problem? You know, basically, if Evolution connects to Exchange, then well, why bother changing the Exchange server? Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
What I'm saying is, if Evolution just connects to Exchange now, then what's the point in writing an Exchange server?
The only thing that Exchange does that anything else doesn't is the calendaring. It does that well, but all the other stuff that Exchange is meant to do well, it's absolutely fucking shit.
Yeah, we all know that. But I mean, solutions. if you're in a company, I mean, forgive me for not fully understanding Microsoft's licensing charging, but is it not the case that once you've paid for it, you've got it anyway, or do you have to pay on a regular basis? Or
hollow
something?
Laughter.
it's a case that you. I mean, people who went out and bought Windows 95 all those years ago. Paid for it and they've got it and they can still
exactly
run it.
So but, what's the point in
not but, necessarily it's but, like playing football and you score a goal and Microsoft tell you no actually that's our net
yeah
I mean because they move the goalposts often
it's a kind of a dwindling ice flow thing if you're running say Exchange 5.5
yeah
and you've got Outlook clients connecting to it or whatever then you're okay. Once you've paid for it once, you don't have to pay for it again. But when new things come out from Microsoft, gradually you'll find that Exchange 5.5 won't be supported.
Yeah, sure.
So if you need the new thing, then you've got to upgrade to Exchange 2000, at which point it costs you more money again.
But there's myriad companies out there still using Win 98 on the desktop.
Hell yes,
so
there are.
Why, what's going to stop? What I'm trying to say is that if they can just add new desktops into their network using Linux with the Exchange connector for Evolution, then there's no real impetus for them. Sorry, there's no real reason for them to upgrade their Exchange server to something that works if it ever does exist on
it. I think it's a multifaceted migration, though. It's a
yeah,
case of you,
multi-stage almost.
You might not necessarily want to move everything over
once.
There, but yeah. You might. I mean, I know of a number of organisations who've sort of said, you know, we want to migrate over to Linux or free software. And then they've been running Windows, but they've been using things such as OpenOffice and they've been using things such as Mozilla. Mm. Now, a lot of businesses, the only thing that's keeping them from being a completely Microsoft-free zone is Exchange, which was the reason why I picked it as my thing to go down to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate in here. I don't understand the benefits, but I just wonder, though, you know, I mean, like, I was reading an OS2 nostalgia site the other day. So I used to be a big OS2 fan and user in the olden days, and
we can tell.
Thanks. And
didn't you like the Amiga as well?
Yeah,
the old dead. Do you like, you know, you go, oh, this old dead thing is now so old that I have to move on to another old dead thing.
Didn't you see?
And eventually you've made it to Linux, which is kind of worrying.
That's bad news for
yourself. Like, exactly, you know, you're tainting Linux by your presence. Sort of like, you know, the Herd or something.
I was never an ST fan, so.
Didn't you see, like, when we recorded at the Expo, we recorded it onto an 8-track tape recorder?
It was a mini disc, everyone. Anyway,
which is incidentally dead technology, is it?
No, it's professional audio recording technology. Anyway,
no one uses anymore.
Doing radio, right?
Is that like wax cylinders with professional recording technology in like 1895?
Yeah, we know what you want wax cylinders for. Anyway, the point that I was making is that on OS2 there was a lot of stuff that could have been done with OS2, but never was because you could just run Windows stuff on it, and I'm just. I don't know, that was just the thing that I was making really sod the lot of you.
The point being that if we don't give people an incentive to move from Exchange, they never will.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough...
incentives to move from Exchange. hit the web for every couple of weeks these days.
Oh, no, no.
Generally
no.
with a bounty on them from Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem is that there still is no replacement for Exchange. If you're using Exchange, you're using all of its functions.
What about Mitch Kapoor's thing? What was...
Chandler? Yeah, when it actually fucking starts up and doesn't crash. I mean, it's already
starting to look bloated.
It's nothing.
It's next week it'll be quite thin,
mate. Yeah, because I'll be thin again. Yeah, yeah,
few prescription painkillers, that's it, or thin right again.
You all think you're funny, right?
And some of us are.
But, yeah, I mean, Chandler might be good, but it's nowhere near release.
No. Well, I mean, also, this is from the man who started the company that brought the world Lotus Notes, so I don't really...
Nah, but he also started the company who brought the world Lotus 1, 2, 3 and Lotus Agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, you know, well I'm done for doing something good 24 years ago.
I think no,
comes from the Marillion fan.
The Marillion have continued to produce very good music.
One really good hit song. How many years ago? 20s.
Kaylee came out when? 1983.
It's not representative of the fantastic range of music.
I bought a Marillion Best Of.
Yeah, but it's the only one anyone's ever heard.
What song?
Yeah,
Kaylee. Marillion Best Of EP.
It was a blank CD. Why doesn't this work?
It's a CDR.
Anyway, I'd just like to announce that Marillion are touring at the moment.
It was one of their business card CDs.
The touring? Where are they playing around here?
They are playing Civic.
Really?
I'm reviewing it for the Express.
That's a lot of room for two people to fit into.
They're not playing in the Civic, they're playing in the phone box next to
it. Rock on Tommy.
At least they can fit in a phone box, unlike you.
Oh. That was a bit uncalled for, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't, mate. You hit him right in the gut when he started talking about Marillion.
Anyway, should we get back to, what was it?
Linux.
we've got to find the link here. Where's the Linux link?
He's in the IRC
tech
camp.
Show. He's we're talking about Lincoln, yeah?
No. We're trying to link it back to
Linux. Linux Tech Show. Because
he can't
promo coming up.
You can't point at Sparks. He's not the link. He's a fucking missing link.
Do you think it was a coincidence that they called their website the Linux Link? I mean, why didn't they call it the Linux Dan or the Linux Allen .net?
I thought you were going
to
say...
No, it's the cobwebs and things that we noticed floating around the room and the tumbleweed blowing across there.
You mean that joke wasn't very good?
I thought you were on about the fact that, you know, is it a coincidence that they're called the Linux Link Show and they talk about Linux? I was thinking, well, yeah. But yeah, is it? Well, he's called Link, isn't he?
Lincoln. Anyway, let's get back to Chandler and...
Are you saying you don't like the Linux Link Tech Show?
No, I'm not saying...
You're trying to change the subject.
You slag off Mitch Kapoor. Now you're going on about the Linux Link Tech
you're
Show.
A complete
bastard, anyone else
aren't
want
you?
To slag off? .NET Rocks? You want to slag them off now?
Listen, you diss Murley and you diss me. You get me riled up.
There's a shitload of people out there dissing
you. I was going to say, every time
you know why he was really menacing about it as well? What?
What was that?
Two people talking.
It's okay, we're both slagging him off.
I'd rather listen to that than Marillion, though.
Yeah, have you heard that? There's a difficult second album.
Difficult.
Two men talking in and out in a phone box. The one next door to the Civic. They're playing in it next week.
What the hell are you going on about?
Right, so anyway, back to the GPLing
of Exchange Connect.
The Zaim Hayan Connect Hour.
Gupling.
Gupling.
Yeah. You know, it's Gpling, like GCK
Kapling,
application.
That's a game. It's a comedy show on BBC Two.
It's a game you have to pull the straws out.
That's Kaplunk, you muppet.
Oh, something like that.
And actually, Kaplunk is where you have to put the satchels on the donkey's back.
No,
that's Buckaroo.
No. I was in Germany last year and I went to this metal festival and we stayed in the Reeper Barn in Hamburg, which is like the red light
nice.
District.
Right.
And we're walking down the road and there's a guy that I was with and this hooker came up to him and she said, "Would you like to have some fun with me tonight?" I was just thinking, wouldn't it be great if you just said, "Yeah, I've got a game of Hungry Hippos at home." And then I just said it to him. We're going this year, and he's going to take a copy of Hungry Hippos with him.
A copy? No. can you just like, are there like Hungry Hippos like copying machines now? Like, do you see stacks of them at like, computer fairs?
Is it legal to take a copy of it?
It's GPL.
Hungry Hippos is public domain.
The Hungry Hippos story.
The Mattel Corporation are writing us out a letter as we speak.
It was M&B, I think, wasn't he?
Whatever.
somebody bought my son 100 hippos, and it comes with little eye stickers. Obviously, you stick them on the hippos. He stuck them on the balls. So when we play Hungry Hippos, he got these oily fucking...
On his balls?
Hippos.
So you got a lot of eyeballs rolling about in the middle, like some kind of, you know...
Some oily fucking hippos. Do you want to grab eyeballs? The scariest fucking game he's ever had.
Fucking Rocky Horror Hippo Show. That's appalling.
Going back to what you said about the Rocky Horror Hippo Show.
I'm gonna make me an eye.
Like a kid going.
And you can never play that because everyone just goes.
it's like that's not playing.
The beast wanker wins because whoever's got that kind of motion going.
It's like, do you remember all the games when we were kids, like Brian Jack's football, and you had the joystick, and all you had to do is yank it left and right as fast as you could, not Daley Thompson Decathlon.
Yeah. And everyone and stuff, Sex Olympics.
And everyone used to go through like 3 joysticks a year or something.
Sex Olympics?
Kempston.
What the hell was Kempston? Shut up. What the hell was Sex Olympics?
It was a PD game that was on the...
Imagine my surprise that it was PD. Right?
Don't you think that disabled toilets are like sex gymnasiums?
Swing off those babies all night long, couldn't you?
You are listening to The Gladio.
One of the things that vexes us greatly is... it's great that we can't even...
Rough toilet paper.
God.
Look after
burglars
your bum.
Who steal
Love
everything
your
and then shit on your floor.
Burglars who steal everything, stick your toothbrush up their arse, take a photo of yourself doing it, then replace the camera so you don't know until you develop the film.
Welcome to the Midlands.
Toothbrush. Cameras.
Camera. Camera. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, one of the things that we've been talking about lately is, not in the show, but just generally...
We do talk. We're not recording people.
It sounds like we record everything we ever say.
It's like Alan and Cole Smith. We just have like a microphone going around with us all the time.
Yeah, no, we managed to cut an hour's worth of show out of 2 weeks of conversation.
Yeah. And we all live together and sleep in the same bed as well. So
like Malcolm and Wise.
Just like the monkeys
and Wise and Wise. Man, oh man, oh, oh man, man, oh man, action.
Bags of Eden Walker. It's not get to be funny, and you get to be like a little short, fat hairy man.
Well,
actually.
I'm there already. Short and fat.
You are amazingly short, aren't you?
I am. I'm 5'6". My granddad was 5 foot tall or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's scary. My granddad was 6'3".
Yeah, I've got another granddad who was taller.
Has anyone?
He's taller. Still.
Because my granddad still is about 5'10". You know?
Has anyone come up to you and said that you sound much shorter than you actually are?
Yeah, thanks Schwack. I think it was Schwack. Was it both Schwack and DeGito?
Yeah.
It was really cool meeting everyone last
fortnight.
It was.
It's cool.
They were going to borrow some money off Matt, but he was a bit short.
So anyway, one of the things we've been talking about in bed and stuff like all four of us is Linux advocacy. And we're really keen on the idea that we as Linux users have kind of have a duty really to get out there and tell other people why Linux is good, because me, I'm not a coder. Most people will realise that after 5 minutes of talking to me, and so I can't give code back to the community. I'm making an effort to give documentation back to the community, but one of the other things that I want to do is tell other people about Linux. Jono came up with this good idea of basically getting a stall at a computer fair and using it a bit like when you see religious fanatics in the street with a table going.
Thanks for the comparison.
No, but that's one of the things we don't want to do. But anyway, yeah, we get a table at a computer fair and say to people, yeah, here's Linux, here's what you can do with it. So do you want to basically introduce what you've been able to set up?
Well, basically what we've done is we were all talking about it, and I've been in touch with a company called Northern Computer Markets, and they run computer fairs across the Midlands and the north of England. And I've made a deal with them whereby they will give us a free InfoPoint booth, basically a table, where people can go and talk about Linux and advocate it and whatever. And they'll give us one of these tables at each fair once a month for free. Now that basically, it's about £50 to buy one. So like they've been quite generous with it, and they deserve a big round of applause for that. So, yeah, not that they're going to listen to this.
Not that was a big round of applause either.
There's four of us, big round of applause. He's like, well, you know, you strap a plank on time, isn't it? You're
So anyway, yeah, so I had the glorious phone call today from Ray from Northern Computer Markets, and he confirmed the first batch of dates. Big thank you to everyone who's been involved. We've got people in Leeds and Bradford.
Have you got the dates to hand?
Yes, I can get them. Talk cool. for a bit,
so, yeah, so basically the idea is that we go along and people... Jono and I and maybe a couple of other people from Malaga are going to try and run a Wolves one. But we can't physically go around all the country and run info points everywhere. So Jono's used his lug masterly position and got in touch with all the different lugs in the UK and said, look, I've got this arrangement. Why don't you go and do something in the fair near to you?
That's it. We had a load of people come back and sort of help out. And these are the dates so far. On the 15th of May, we've got a fair at Elland Road in Leeds.
That's the football ground.
That's the one.
That's sinking, isn't it?
It's what?
It's going down.
Yeah, Leeds United, for foreign listeners, are going down in the division system.
Yeah. I'm not a big football fan. 16th of May, Bradford. 22nd.
Sorry, that's actually Bradford.
Monkey.
22nd of May is in Manchester.
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 Yeah. 23rd of May is back in
Morley
in Leeds. And then 30th of May is in Ullroy's Might. Go on, Spark, say it.
It's not fucking Wolverhampton accent, you cheeky bastard.
Oh, sorry.
Wolverhampton.
Sorry.
It's more of a Smethwick accent.
For those of you who don't know, Smethwick's about 200 yards down the road.
A lot of people come up to me when I moved here and said, you're like, this is a Birmingham accent. All right, mate. And this is a Wolverhampton accent. All right, mate. I can tell the difference.
I think I can just about tell the difference now. Like in Gornal, if you want to say someone's pregnant, say, she's all babbied up.
Oh, my God.
Apparently. Well, anyway, back to info points.
Yeah, so what we need is we need people to come forward and help and go to these advocacy info points.
Yeah.
The idea is that people can be... All these people who go to computer fairs are going to go and buy dodgy software and loads of USB mice.
with increasingly large windows that have no apparent reason. Fans that are appalling quality but have LEDs in them.
And the Lucky Dip card bin where you pay £1 and pull out a random card and then take it home and see what it is.
Yeah. Watch it burn when you plug it
you can find an Eisa slot to stick it in, that is.
Much like a Friday night in Wolverhampton.
Oh, yes. The idea, the main reason why I wanted this to happen was so people who go to these fairs can see Linux working on a machine, because we can go and rant about Linux as much as we want to.
Well, the idea is that we don't go and rant about Linux.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would not help as well. So, we might as well have some other people ranting about Linux instead.
So, basically, the idea is that you don't go there and go, hello, yes, you can use Linux for all manner of things, and if unless you start using free and open approach to your life, you shall be executed. And,
no, you need more of a Norwich accent for that one, I think.
Yeah. that's quite possible. So, while since I've been to Norwich...
This will be good.
Hey. It's a shithole.
It is.
Actually, I can't say that. I've never been there.
I lived there for 2 years. It's a shithole.
Really?
Yeah.
So
good thing about Norwich. No offence to anyone who lives in Norwich, but good thing about Norwich is it will be an island eventually.
Yeah. Right. So basically the idea is that you don't go along there, rant incessantly about some ridiculous small aspect of licensing or try and insist that people immediately make a wholesale transfer to Linux or even worse, Linux. Or even worse than that, GNU Linux.
Or even worse, BSD.
The idea is that you just go along. You go along, you be a human being and offer advice to people.
Some people.
And, you basically try and... The thing is, you don't want to go along and seem like some kind of religious zealot.
Yeah.
You don't want to be...
Unless you're also a religious zealot. Let's be fair. It's not like prejudice against people here. If you are religious zealot, turn off your religious zealotness. Don't literally hit them with the Bible.
Or any other holy book.
In this case, O'Reilly's
Linux kernel. Running Linux or something. The Bible of Linux.
Running Linux, the horse is pretty stationary on that one. Have you noticed?
As Welsh said on page one, let there be Linux and let it be free.
Don't let on either that you called your firstborn Linus.
That would be good. Firstborn Linus.
Epic. No. Definite no.
Richard.
Or you refer to everyone by their three-letter acronym.
That annoys me. How people are all trying to call
themselves. Yeah, it's really strange. It's like DIK, isn't it? A whole lot of them.
JB. I mean, that would be my... Well, mine, I've got two middle names, so I'd have to pick between them.
Shit, man.
I know. So it's like... It's S-A-L.
That's right.
So, oh, yeah, you do it.
I know.
I did it, and Ack accused me of being like a hair care product or an oil or something.
Really? What's your...
STP.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. So, cool.
So, yeah, basically, if you want to run an info point, get along to johnobacon.org/infopoint.
I can't believe you had to stop and think about it in the middle.
No, I was going to say get involved, but then I realised I didn't want to confuse the matter.
And join the mailing list as well.
Can we just point out as well, it's not just a northern thing. Northern computer fairs are the ones to come forward and offer stuff, but other organisations are getting involved, aren't they?
And Northern Computer Fairs are both markets. In the north and in the middle.
They're pretty much down to Oxford, kind of.
Are they? Aren't they? I don't know how far
they
are.
They're kind of stretching the difference.
They do a lot.
Northern.
The one thing as well is, obviously, we're going to have some American listeners. If you think this is a good idea, do people in America have computer fairs?
Yeah, the guys on the tech show were talking about it.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was Dan managed to get himself a lime green iMac for $99.
Link was near college.
That's fuck all.
Really? I know. Why can't we get cheap stuff?
Quid.
All you can do at computer fairs over here is buy photo printers that are being demonstrated by a man printing out 80s porn.
Yeah.
Leaning over the bonnet, kind of.
On the other hand, if you can go and get 80s porn, then that stuff's got collector value.
Hollyoaks kind of leaning over the bonnet.
One of my former students, right, all the other students in this class were complaining about all the fees and everything like H&D class, and he bought himself a brand new BMW Z3. Right? And I thought, well, how did he get this money? And I realised, I knew him from the guy actually got a stall at Computer Fairs. There's some money in it.
There's a lot of money there.
Yeah, so your stall selling your dodgy ink, have that next to your info point and run from one to the other.
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me, actually, the one thing, the agreement I made with Northern Computer Fairs and something that I think should be replicated across all other organisers.
Definitely.
Yeah. Is that...
Before you know what it is.
I know.
You're in with it, aren't you?
I'm down with it.
You're down with it.
Jiggy Widget. I couldn't find a Jiggy Widget anywhere.
Jiggy Widget.
Or it's Halfords, I asked.
I think they're in GTK, aren't they, Jiggy Widget?
Yeah. It's a Q Canvas or something in QT. Anyway, randomness. Don't sell stuff on your info point. Don't go there with boxes of Suzy 7.2 that we all got sent years ago. And don't try and sell them for £20. If you're going to sell anything, if you want to give Linux away, which is why we're there, and you don't want to get yourself out of pocket, just pay for the CDs and charge for the cost of the CD. That's the agreement.
Yeah, you really shouldn't see this as a money making venture. I know most people won't, but it will be stopped. I don't want to sound harsh, but basically you could ruin it for everyone else. So please don't fuck it up for everyone.
And the thing is if you haven't got, if you don't know a lot about Linux and you're a bit unsure about doing it, having some representation at a fair is better than no representation at a fair.
And no doubt people from your local lug will be happy to help you.
Yeah.
Squeak, squeak, squeak of the monitor stand and everything there. We've got sent a book to review, and if anyone else wants to send us anything free, we love it.
Thanks, Heather, from Pearson Publications.
Advanced Unix Programming Second Edition by Mark. How do you think he spells it?
Rochkind. Rochkind.
Rochkind or Rochkin or something.
Ellis.
Well, he wouldn't have sent the book for me to review if he didn't expect me to not get his name right. It's a pretty good book. It runs down all the different APIs and stuff, the programming Unix in, and it's something that I wish I'd got when I first started doing this kind of stuff, started doing any systems programming. I haven't done any for a while, so I had to learn C again just to use it, just to have a look at it. But it brings everything in together. It brings all the RPC stuff and everything all together in one place. Nice book to have on the shelf.
You know how it says advanced Unix programming? What about someone who's never really programmed for Unix?
If you,
what would you
totally
recommend for them?
Useless.
No, what would you recommend for them?
If you don't know C and you don't want to do any advanced stuff in C, then it's pretty fucking useless. So, but if that's the kind of thing that that's for all the people who don't want to learn C. But if you already know C and you want to get some applications working together, talking to each other nicely and things,
then you write a pipeline in Bash.
Yeah, well,
fuck a bunch of advanced programming.
So what would you say is the best thing about it? I mean, is it written in a good style? Is it? I mean, what's
you
good
can't
about
really
it?
Who's the ideal audience for it? Would you say?
Hey, people, Unix one question at a time. No, intermediate Unix programmers. Surely.
Yeah, intermediate Unix programmers. First question was what?
What's good about it? Why would someone want to buy it?
Everything is in one volume. This.
Everything?
Well, not.
Quite big, is it?
It is actually quite big. It's the only system calls that aren't talked about are the ones that aren't fucking used. So it's pretty good. It goes into a lot of Linux detail. You know where Linux deviates from the Unixes. It goes into Linux detail. But it's pretty general. It's pretty good. It's got the works.
Is it relevant? Cool. I mean, a lot of these kind of advanced Unix books, all they rant on about is sockets and things such as that. When a lot of people who are doing any kind of Unix kind of programming at the moment are probably going to use some kind of high-level toolkits to do this kind of stuff.
But if you're writing lower-level stuff and it's got to talk to another lower-level program, you've got several choices of where you're going to get to work together.
Who's going to write low-level? Who's going to write a generic low-level sort of application?
Linus Torvalds.
Yeah, but if you're going to write... Yeah, but what I'm saying is if you're going to write like a kernel module, then you'd read like a kernel hacking.
Yeah,
book.
I mean, that was my thought, which is why I said, who's the audience for? I mean, you talk about advanced Unix programming, but I don't know how much advanced Unix programming there is. I mean, there's advanced GNOME programming, or advanced GTK, or advanced...
Like systems programming.
Advanced, yeah. But, I mean, how much of that actually happens? Haven't we got a decent enough set of utilities and stuff that you can just genuinely chain it all together in Bash?
I reckon you can.
How much of the time do you need to write? I mean, people will knock off, you know, tiny little programs in C to just test an individual thing.
You're writing
but how much
do
you need a book like this?
If you're writing a new mail transfer agent, you wouldn't write it in Bash.
Well, yeah, but anyone who's thinking about writing a brand new MTA doesn't need a fucking book about advanced Unix programming, because if you need the book, then you're in no way capable of writing a new MTA.
If that stays the same, then everybody who's capable of doing it
will die, and then there won't be any more.
Already they're starting to look like Mad Dog. Pretty soon they'll look like Alan Cox.
Who frankly looks like he died about 5 years ago.
Pretty soon they'll look like Alan Cox and, you know, and Bruce Perrins.
He's a nice bloke.
Quite frankly, we're going to end up running out of these people in about 30, 40 years' time when life catches up with them.
Yeah.
Well, so, overall...
overall, the old guy with the scythe, enemy of Unix programmers everywhere.
Overall, you'd recommend it if that's your bag.
If that's your thing and you want to get into systems programming, it's a great volume to have because it's all there. You don't have to go hunting for the documentation.
My other thought about it, right, is to quote Heather's communique to us. Can you call it a communique? That sounds like it comes from a terrorist.
Heather being the PR person who sent it.
I'd call it an email.
Not Mark.
To quote her email.
To quote her email. We're just about to publish the second edition of Mark Roshkin's 1985 classic Advanced Unix Programming. Right? Now, either Unix programming has changed significantly from 1985, or it hasn't. If it hasn't, then why have we not made any advance in the last 20 years? And if it has, why in fuck's name is it a second edition rather than a totally different book?
There's four or five chapters in there that relate to the original. I haven't got the original, but it does say in the preface, there's only four or five chapters that were in the original and updated. Everything else is new.
Because socket programming is the same as it was then.
Yeah, well, a lot of things are the same, but there's that much new stuff that's been built recently. Yeah. Well, I say recently, that's 15, 20 years.
But how much? It's not that fucking new. It's about half the lifetime that there's been computers at all is 1985, you know. But, I mean, how much new stuff has there been at this kind of level? There's been loads of new stuff layered on top of the system, but how much new stuff has come along in the last 20 years?
It's about twice the size that the previous version was.
What exactly makes it a classic?
Bigger font.
You wouldn't think that a Unix programming book would be a complete classic.
The definition of classic, according to publicists, is it was written a while ago.
Well, no, wasn't the original one written in ancient Greek? in the form of a poem.
If you get on IRC and say, I want to learn how to do something, the same books come up and up again and again. You start arguing, people bring up Stevens and K&R and everything. I've never heard of this book before now. So it's not a classic in Unix programming circles. But to the publisher, it's a classic because it's more than 3 years old. They haven't stocked it for a while.
Yeah, because classic means out of print.
Hi, everyone. I'm Link.
Dan.
I'm Alan.
From the Linux Link Tech Show. And we're here to remind everyone that you can enjoy an hour more Lug Radio-style commentary each week by listening to us at the Linux Link Tech Show. You can find our shows and information online at thelinuxlink.net/TLLTS. That's the Linux Link Tech Show on the web at thelinuxlink.net/TLLTS. Enjoy the rest of the Lug Radio show and then stop by and join the fun.
Okay, because we've changed the name of the show to the Zimian Show.
you could call it the Zimian Connection.
I was going to say we could red carpet or something.
Lug stretch, carpet radio.
Stretch.
Carpet radio.
Stretch your carpet. Carpet burns.
It's quite good, actually. We've mentioned Zimian so many times, and we've never mentioned Robert Love all day. normally we start it up, and we get a couple of Robert Love quotes.
We do. We
Havoc quote. And then that goes off, and he's. Okay, get back to
mean.
The point.
You're all mean. Start this bit again.
Back to the point.
Mono.
Rewind.
Mono from Zimian.
Okay, we're talking about Mono from Zimian. It's released the first beta. It's added quite a bit to the .NET stuff. I wish John, I wouldn't do that right in front of me while talking.
Is it in sweets?
If people don't know .NET. Is the Microsoft thing. Mono is our thing that does the Microsoft thing.
Now listen, I'm kind of, I'm not all that clued up on what .NET is. From what I can gather, it's some kind of...
This is where it all starts to get deep.
Let me ask a question. From what I understand, it's basically C# and maybe some other languages, and a just-in-time compiler? Is that right?
It's not really language-dominated. Although C# was released for .NET at the same time, they're all linked together.
Right.
But C# isn't part of .NET. C# is a language that works well with .NET and this, that, and the other. Python. Just to mention Python.
God,
Python
there.
Python is all part in there. Part of the problem is if you say what is .NET, it is at times a programming idea, a virtual machine, a philosophy, a server. A marketing approach, loads of stuff. Because Microsoft basically went through a period where everything they did had .NET written on the front.
That's
of it.
True.
But the idea behind it is that
Excel.
You know the JVM, yeah, the Java Virtual Machine that Java runs on.
Yeah.
The idea is that you can essentially the CLR, mm-hmm. Common Language Runtime. Yeah. It's like a JVM, and you can compile different languages that all run on top of the CLR.
Right,
and is what it basically boils down.
Now,
to.
What I don't understand is why would Microsoft do something that sounds as though it's quite, well, portable. I don't understand why they've created this common language runtime when surely they could just compile it into native, i386 code. And I don't know.
You've got the nice view and the cynical view. Which one do you want first?
Both.
First,
I can't do them both at the same time.
That's because you're running this virtual machine. If it was native, and you got a multiprocessor machine, okay, go. Cynical.
You want the cynical view first?
Yeah.
Well, that's the only one we're gonna fucking get. Because as soon as you do the nice one, the last three words, then you'll go, but fuck it, and you'll go.
Give us a nice one to start with, then.
The nice view. Is that they're implementing this because then if people are writing code based on .NET, then if they're writing it on Linux, then it's instantly portable to Windows. So if we come up with good programs and good ideas with everything, then the Windows users and the Windows environment gets them for free. We're not if stuff is written for Linux but it's .NET stuff, then people can automatically run it on Windows. So there's less of a compelling argument for people to switch away from Windows to get hold of a really good Linux program.
Right.
Imagine the GIMP was absolutely brilliant, right? The GIMP doesn't really run on Win32. So if you want to use the GIMP, you need to move to Linux. Microsoft therefore loses a customer.
Oh,
right, then pick a fucking different thing. An Evolution, then.
We're imagining that it doesn't.
Yeah, all right. Evolution, if you like. If Evolution was the best mail client in the world and people wanted to use Evolution, then at the moment they have to move to Linux to use it.
Okay.
Which means that Microsoft lose a customer.
So give us a cynical.
The cynical view is you get everyone using .NET, and then you make sure that the people using .NET, you put enough Windows-specific stuff into it.
Which is where Lunkhorn's coming in.
That people will start using it and find that they can't actually use it on Linux at all. If you look at some type, that's what Microsoft did with Java. When they went to Visual J++, you found that a lot of the... They put in things to be able to call the Win32 API, which meant that when people started writing Java code on Windows, they chuck it. It was never really clear what was actual Java and what was Win32. So suddenly, the stuff they'd written turned out not to be portable off of Windows, which pissed Sun off beyond all recognition. And that's why they came up with 100% pure Java concept.
I wouldn't say it's beyond all recognition. I'd say it's by about $2 billion.
Well, yeah.
There's another theory as well. This is my theory.
Hang on. I'm quite finished. But, so the idea is that if you get people using this kind of thing, we'll tie up loads of guys on Linux who could be working to make Linux better, or to make GNOME better, or to make, Python better, or Evolution better, or anything. Instead, they'll be implementing .NET compilers, and they'll be writing programs in .NET, and then all those people have gone down a blind alley. Joel Spolsky talked about Fire and Motion. The idea that if you try and track what Microsoft are doing, you won't get anything done because you have to spend all your time recoding your applications for .NET or for Hailstorm, or do you include Passport or not? Do you use ADO to read databases, or did you use RDO first and all this kind of thing? You spend all your time watching for the latest thing out of Microsoft. You never actually get any fucking work done.
Right.
It's called Fire and Motion. Because they keep firing, you haven't got a chance to sit back and think about what you're doing. You've got to just keep reacting rather than acting.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Another theory.
That's the cynical thing.
Go, Jono.
Go, Jono.
My view is...
Jono's view of Mono.
Funny man. Yeah. Obviously, Microsoft are in a difficult situation at the moment, right? They're having some...
They've got all this fucking money to get rid of. What a bastard.
$46 billion.
They're having some competition with Linux and free software and all the rest of it, right? And... at the end of the day, an OS is a commodity. It's something that you basically buy to run other stuff.
I don't believe that, and neither does Richard Stallman.
Well, yeah. I don't fully agree with everything Richard Stallman says. Anyway, an OS is a commodity. It's something that you have in your system that essentially runs other things, right? Now, Microsoft are eventually... I think they've pretty much... my theory is that they've come to the conclusion that at some point in the future... Linux is going to get to a critical mass where they're going to have to sell their applications running on Linux. And I don't believe... I think for them it would be a PR disaster if they did a proper native port of their applications. So by pushing everything over to .NET, if they do actually stay within the framework of .NET, they can get their applications running on Linux and they don't have the PR disaster.
So why is it Zimian that's created Mono and not some... Microsoft-funded shop without the Microsoft name.
Depends on the definition of the word funded. Microsoft have been very helpful to people implementing. They've been very keen to get involved. They've tried to get .NET done as an ECMA standard and stuff like that. And they've been genuinely helpful to the Mono guys.
I seem to remember when Mono was originally announced.
Wasn't there money?
There was some kind of link between Microsoft and Zimian, and there was a lot of scepticism about how deep that link was. Now, I don't know this for sure. No one quote me on this, but I seem to remember reading something about it. It would not surprise me at all if some cool hackers at Microsoft, because there's going to be loads of cool guys at Microsoft, have worked with the cool guys at Zimian on this.
Yeah.
And Microsoft know that in the bigger picture, that they're going to be able to port their applications over to Linux. It's not going to cost them any money, and they're not going to lose the PR.
To pick a similar example, I think that's why Office 11 will have XML file formats. Because Microsoft's managed to stay ahead of the game for ages and ages and ages and by revving the Word file format to stay ahead of people doing it. But they're now getting to the point where other applications can read Word. And I think they've started to think, okay, there's no point in continually trying to beat this army of guys trying to decode the Word format. So we might as well open it up to everybody. That way it looks really good for us and we'll get more people using Word documents.
Yeah.
And we're always going to be the best at editing Word documents because we write Word.
Making XML file formats for Word, isn't that just the embrace and extend and embrace extinguish kind of thing?
Microsoft have attempted to be very clear about how it's not going to embrace and extend it. It's going to be Puckett-readable XML. Now, whether that's bollocks or not is difficult to tell. But that's what they say it's going to be. Because some people were worried, you know, you get an XML document which was an open document tag, and then a shitload of binary bollocks, and then a closed document tag, which would be XML, but it kind of defeats the point of it. But they're certainly suggesting that it will be open and reasonable, in the same way that OpenOffice's documents are.
What's quite interesting is if you look at the way things have worked with this whole sort of competition between Microsoft and Linux and everything else, obviously with Linux, because everything's open source and free, and mainly because it's open source, it's a level playing field. Everybody who writes applications for Linux is on the same level. Whereas if you write software for Microsoft-based systems, you know very well that Microsoft are probably going to be holding back some information about Windows so that they've got an element of advantage over their competitors.
Despite the fact, I want to point out, they have sworn blind in court that there are no secret undocumented APIs.
Yeah. If you believe that, you believe bloody anything. Right? I mean...
I just thought I'd point it out.
The thing is,
there's no books with people with pink shirts on the front around anymore, so they're obviously more well-hidden than they used to be.
I think the thing is...
Explain.
Peter Norton book, he had a pink shirt on, didn't
he? I think the thing is, though, is that what I'm building up to with this point is that Microsoft know very well that there's certain advocacy points that people make about Linux and free software that they simply can't win on. They can't win on the fact that, A, it's free, so they've tried to con that down with Windows is actually cheaper.
Talking about TCO the definition and of free. Return on investment and stuff like that.
That's one area where they know they can't compete. Another area where they know that, I think this is having quite a substantial impact, is vendor lock-in. Microsoft know that if someone buys one of their pieces of software, they're going to be locked into their software. Now, I think until Linux kind of hit around, it wasn't too much of an issue because all the other competitors were making proprietary file formats. With Linux, and everything's become so much open, and the amount of press that Linux is getting is ridiculous. I mean, it was in the Sunday Times the other day.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, the amount of press that we're getting. So, Microsoft know that any press that they're getting related to Linux is generally negative press. So that's why I think they're trying to slowly move towards Linux.
I'm not even convinced that it's negative press, but the press is kind of comparing the two things on a level. It's saying, we've done this big assessment of Microsoft and Linux in this particular area, and we've concluded you're pretty much better off using Microsoft in this area. But the point is, the two things are being compared as equals. And if they're equals, imagine Microsoft and Linux are perceived as equals by everybody. That means half people choose Microsoft and half of them will choose Linux. At which point, if 50% of people are moving to Linux, Microsoft have instantly lost half their customer base.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
can't afford for that to happen.
It's going to be interesting watching how sort of mono
progresses. Have we mentioned the .NET Rocks guys at this point?
Have we?
Not yet, we haven't.
But, no, we ought to.
We should bizarrely linked, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much, .NET guys. You have been...
We'll explain what .NET Rocks is.
Yeah, it's a radio show.
It's radio
show. I've not heard it, actually. Is it any good?
Yeah, it is. It's quite interesting.
I know you're probably not going to say it's shit on air, but...
No, I wouldn't anyway. I mean, I've said on the forums what I think of it. I think the download's rather large, but they've given good reasons for that.
Oh, yeah. No, and, I saw that, yes.
Their enormous hosting bill of $3,000 a month or something.
Yeah.
Which I was
stunned at, because I thought you had slashed off $3,000 a month.
What is our hosting bill? Oh, it's nothing.
Nothing at all. Yeah. Zero. So,
that's because we
I don't know whether that's because, I mean, you know, we just put a call out to our mates and we got loads of hosting, so I don't know what this says about the
.NET Rocks guys. They stream theirs live.
So they do.
12 megabits a second.
Good show to Rory, because we don't do anything halfway as flash.
Was Rory the guy
Rory
who
is the guy,
come
Neil,
on the...
Neapolian, the guy on the forum.
Yeah, cool bloke.
Basically, he is cool bloke.
Yeah, that...
Big up Rory.
Ack's got a good way of describing it. You've got...
Oh, right, my way of describing it, yeah. I mean, if you imagine a kind of a spectrum where you've got Richard Stallman on one end and Bill Gates on the other end, then you've got kind of a line in the middle. And thank you. And we are...
Us as
reasonable, right-thinking, cool Linux people are relatively close to that line, but on the Linux side. And Rory is about the same distance from the line on the other side. He's not a zealot and he's not a lunatic.
Yeah. We
can have a decent conversation with him.
And I think we should do on the show sometime.
Where is he based? Is he in America?
Yeah, somewhere in America.
He's an American.
I forget where.
American.
Rory, get on a plane. Come over to Wolverhampton.
Stay in Jono's spare bedroom.
You'd have to bring your own chair in order to become part of the team.
And your own microphone.
And a microphone.
Actually, don't come over because you can't actually fit in the room.
Radio.
Right, okay, that's it. We've reached the end of episode 7.
And episode 7, 14 weeks 14 we've been weeks. Doing this.
It's unbelievable.
That's
I can't believe
stunning.
It. I mean,
it's actually, as Sparks pointed out earlier, it's about a year since we first came up with the idea for this.
Hang on. 12 weeks. Fence post error. It's 12 weeks.
Obi-Wan
fence
Kenobi.
Fence post error.
Obi-Wan. Yeah, if you've got 10 fence panels, then you need 11 posts.
Right.
Yeah, because there's one on each end. If we've done 7 shows, there's only 6 gaps, so we've been doing it 12 weeks.
Right. So yeah, we've been doing it for a while now, and that's quite good. And
sorry.
It's a year since we came up with the idea.
Yeah,
which is quite interesting.
It is,
and we've actually done it. I mean,
we've actually done it.
I should really point out, InfoPoint sounds like it's been like worked on really quickly, which it has this time. But Jono first pitched this idea about 4 or 5 years ago.
What, InfoPoint?
Yeah.
Right.
It's only this time that it really took off.
Yeah.
So. It's a wolf's lug thing that we tend to take every time through anything.
It does.
How long did it take to actually have a meeting somewhere else? That took 3-4 years, perhaps.
It took ages. I mean, it took us 2 years to get the pie factory.
Which reminds me that Scott Lug are going to be doing a similar thing to what we're doing, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing a radio.
I hear you know
but
about
those
spots.
They haven't got a pie factory, I think.
What about a chocolate factory?
They have them little manky
the
fucking.
Wrong side of the
they have them little fucking manky Scots pies that are full of
morning
grease.
Pies.
They're horrible.
No, Scots pies are brilliant covering batter foil.
They're disgusting. You cut a little corner, you can just pour the grease out the bottom into the bin.
I love a Scottish breakfast. Bam. I love haggis. I'm a bit Scottish myself, so you know.
I like you mean you're a tight bastard.
Can I just say something though? This is what I'm anticipating.
Homo! Welcome to Scots Lug Radio! Christ, I tell ya, it's been a great week for Scottish open source software!
You wee bastard!
Now, the thing is, like, when we start arguing and all talking over each other, it'll be. Rab, you bastard! Like that? There'll be like deaf people everywhere. Because as soon as it really kicks off, it'll really kick off. There'll be special brew cans falling over.
And iron brew.
Tenants, super.
Tenants, super.
The one that tastes like barley wine and you can glue your wallpaper on if you don't mind tramps coming and licking your walls for the next 4 or 5 years.
Wallflower.
I never want a tramp to lick my walls.
Anyway, best of luck, Scott.
The scary thing is, we all know Scottish people and really like them.
I am a bit Scottish, like I say.
And we've just like slagged off an entire nation that we actually have a great affinity for.
Not our first.
One of Scotland's finest is fish from Merillion, formerly, obviously.
Merillion.
Please.
They're such a great band, aren't they?
The best thing to come out of Scotland is
Billy.
Them little toffee bars.
Oh, yeah, Highland Coo.
Hello, you're from Scotland.
There's been
Mac
a mother.
Radio.
Oh no, there's been a mother.
Mac Radio. Red Mac.
Taggart.
That's my distro.
How can Taggart be called Taggart? No, Taggart hasn't been in it for 10 years.
Mark McManus has been dead since about 1995.
The best thing about Taggart is every time one ginger tosser leaves, another one comes in.
Have you watched it? They just prop him up. We've got like a broom.
We've got cardboard cutout of it.
I saw it for the first ever time. I'm not like a fan
it's
of
like
it.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's.
I saw it for the first ever time.
Bernie's.
The episode like of the new series after Taggart had died. And I was sitting there and I said to the missus, Taggart isn't in this, is he? This is no, he died. Couldn't fucking understand it at all.
Perhaps I'll do a new version of Morse where it's just, I don't know, from another room you hear, Lewis!
I, sir.
You're in an impression mood tonight, aren't you? Yes. You're on form.
And Morse, I can never, ever get into fucking Morse either. Right? That guy!
Actually, <I'm not.
laughs> That guy, I used to see him when I was a kid in the Sweeney. Bedding birds, drinking scotch, spinning round of the car really quick. Yeah. I seen him in Morse, he's driving slowly in an old Jag. The other dude was the pissed up Vicky that missed his wife Brenda.
Kids lately.
Why, Emil?
Wait.
Hey, man.
For God's sake, man, I can't be dealing with this.
Jeff, come quick. Spooky's on the roof, man. Spooky, man, don't be doing that.
Well, hey, man, I'm gallant in the groove, Lee.
What just rocked the mic?
What are we going to call it, then? Let's call it Groove Matrix. Groove Matrix.
Groove Log Radio.
PJ, close your eyes. No, good Scottish then. Whatever you do, don't fucking turn around that corner with your eyes open.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, and also, Scott's like, whatever you do, don't just kind of
call it
wrap up a show slagging off an entire nation.